Oh, well, Summit family, it's good to be with y'all this morning. If you are new here, my name is John Muller, and I have the privilege and joy of serving as the campus pastor here. If you have been here for a while, then I am so excited to open up God's word with you, and I am so excited to continue this series about the verse that changed my life. But I feel like in order to know the verse that changed my life, you need to know something about me, and so just want to tell y'all a little bit about where I'm from. Actually, on the 4th of July weekend is when my hometown shuts down. All of you have already blown all your vacation, apparently, so that's why you're here. And I am glad. You could have been at a pool, you could have been at a beach, you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate that. It is good to gather with y'all. In my hometown, it shuts down on July 4th weekend. My hometown is Gilbert, South Carolina. It's where God touched the earth. It is in between Columbia, South Carolina, and Augusta, Georgia. And if you head down I-20 west and you look north, the clouds part and the angels sing, and the angels actually descend and ascend from on earth there, and it is the most incredible place, and I'm proud to be from there. But on July 4th, Gilbert has the Lexington County Peach Festival, and I know all of y'all have heard about this, so I'm just telling you things that you already know. But this town shuts down, and we have homemade peach ice cream, homemade peach tea, homemade peach cobbler, homemade peach everything. We are known for our peaches, and it is the most incredible time. And look, in summertime, at that time, when you show up to the Peach Festival, you got to look right. You got to look good, because that is the only time you see everybody from school during the summertime, and so you got to let them know that whatever you had when school ended, you still got it, right? And so you make sure and look good, you make sure you dress good, you show up early, you walk the parade route, saying what's up to your friends, pointing out some folks, letting people know you saw them and they saw you, but you don't have time to talk to them, right? And so you move on, and then you have the parade, you enjoy that, then you go and get some peach tea. I had to work for my fun though, so I went to the peach stand and I actually sold peaches with my dad there. And then during the day, it's hot, you go play on the lake, and then you come back for the street dance and for the fireworks, and it is the most incredible time, and I'm not able to be there, but I'm glad that I'm here. And I actually grew up across the street from a peach field. It was Mr. Oswald's peach field, and I got to watch the peaches grow. I got to watch them bloom. I got to watch them be pruned. I got to watch them in March turn pink and beautiful, and then around June and July is whenever sweet, delicious peaches started coming on the vine. And it's not for me to say I may or may not have crossed the street and gotten plenty without paying for them, but I think he's all right about that. But today we're actually going to talk about a root and a fruit. We're actually going to talk about the fruit that is produced in our lives. How did I know these trees across the road from my house were peach trees? Because they grew peaches. Because peaches appeared on their branches. And we as Christians produce fruit as well. And there's a fruit for life, and there's a fruit for death. There's a fruit that comes from the branch. There's a fruit that comes from abiding in God. And then a fruit that nots. And so today I want you to be able to leave with knowing what fruit you're producing in your life. My main point today is simple. True fruit comes from the true vine. True fruit comes from the true vine. I knew what those peach trees were because they grew peaches. I want you today to know where you stand with God by examining the fruit in your life. Let me pray for that. Father, I ask today that you will open our hearts and our minds. Lord, that you will show us your word and give us wisdom and discernment to apply it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse that changed my life is John 15:2. And so you can go ahead and turn there and scroll there. John 15:2, we're actually going to look at verses 1 through 5. And let me give you a little context here. This is the farewell discourse. This is the time that Jesus and his disciples had just eaten the Last Supper. And this is what Jesus is talking to them about, actually the night that he is going to be betrayed. And so we are going to see that this is the last I am statement that he made. He made 7 of them in the book of John. And so this is Jesus talking to his boys about the fruit that they are going to bring and have in their lives. And I want us to see it for ourselves too. So let's look at John 15:1 through 5 and read that together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I want us to make three observations as we walk through the text today. The first observation is that there's one vine. One vine. Go ahead and write that down. One vine. And the imagery of the vine was significant for the disciples. They had known about the vine. Jesus created a garden in the Garden of Eden and grew things for Adam and Eve to eat. And then Adam and Eve decided to eat the one tree that God told them not to eat. And so then God had to cast them out of the garden when sin entered the world through their disobedience. And so God then again called Abraham to himself. And then from Abraham to his son Isaac, and then to Jacob, who had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel, went down into Egypt. And then in Egypt, they grew into a large nation. So Egypt enslaved them. And then God sent Moses, freed them and brought them out, gave them his 10 commandments and made them a people unto themselves. God made them for himself so that they would be a people holy and set apart to him and distinct from the world so that they would reflect his glory to the world. In fact, we see in Psalm 88 that David tells us this. He says, "You brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it." And so the imagery of a vine was familiar to the disciples. They understood what the vine meant. They understood that the nation of Israel was God's chosen vine. But what the nation of Israel did was they turned away from God. They were disobedient to God. They chose things that were not God, and sin entered the world. Through that sin entering the world, the penalty of death entered the world. And what God did in his great love and mercy is that God now sent Jesus to be the one true vine. That's why Jesus here says, "I am the true vine." What he is saying here is, I am everything that Israel was not. I am everything that you could not be. I am everything that Israel was intended to be. Israel was intended to be a holy, blameless nation to God for himself, but they decided to turn away from him and went to other nations and followed after other gods. And so what God did in his great love and mercy is not leave them there, but sent Jesus the Messiah to them to be the vine for them. And you know this, if you've ever planted anything, that the health of the vine, the health of the fruit comes from the root. It comes from what you were planted in. It comes from where you grow. It comes from the soil that is around you. And so as we look at this today, we are going to see that the vine of the Lord, Jesus Christ, was planted for us in the garden of God. That's why he is called the vine dresser here. That it was planted for us, and that we're going to see that from that root grows a vine, and from that vine grows branches, and from those branches grow fruit. In fact, that's observation number two we're going to make, is that there are two branches. There's one vine, two branches. These two branches are where we're going to spend the majority of our time. We see this in John 15:2 and John 15:4. John 15:2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." John 15:4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So there is a vine with two branches. One branch lives, one branch dies. One branch gets cut off, one branch thrives. When we see this, we have to begin to ask, why is that? What is different between these two branches? What makes one thrive and one die? What makes one live and one not? What we see here is that it's because the branch abides. Your version actually might say remain. Here's your Greek word for the week. The Greek word for abide here actually means meno, M-E-N-O with the line over it, meno. Meno means to remain, to linger, to enjoy for an extended period of time. In fact, it can also mean that you leave somewhere and you linger in such a way that you never return. Some of you wish you could do that on your vacations. Some of you wish that you could watch the sunrise over the beach every day or the sunset over the mountains. Some of you wish you could linger in the presence of your spouse. Some of you are in here and your kids are in kids because you don't want to linger in their presence. And I understand that. And you understand abiding means to remain. Abiding means to linger. It means to enjoy for an extended period of time. I am not a guy that has to have a lot of guys' nights. I'm just not. I married my wife because I like her, because I like to spend time with her, because I think she's beautiful and funny, and I want to be with her. And so I plan my week around talking to her and spending time with her. I want to remain with her. I want to dwell with her. I want to abide with her. Many times my friends will be like, John, do you want to come over? Nah, I'm good. I'm just going to hang out here with Ashley because she is way better company than they are. Now, when she's out of town, I'll settle for them, all right? But that's if she's not around. I want to abide with her. I want to dwell with her. The same is true about this branch. This branch abides in the vine. This branch remains in the vine. This branch dwells in the vine. When we see the meaning of the word meno, this branch becomes part of the vine. And you begin not to be able to determine where one ends and one begins, because the branch gets its life from the vine. See, when Jesus says that we are the branches, what he means is that we get our life from him. Not from any other vine, but from him. That's why he is the true vine. And so as a branch that abides in God, what it means first is that we believe. Abiding starts with believing. We believe that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We believe that we have turned away from God. We believe Romans 3:23 when it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." We believe that Romans 6:23 is true whenever it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We believe that we need God. We believe that we are sinners condemned to die unless Jesus died for us. And so us abiding begins with us believing. Believing that we need the true vine. That true vine was planted in God's grace and in his mercy for us. And so we believe. We believe that he is God. We trust his word. Abiding is the life of the Christian. We continue the same way we begin again. We believe God. We believe in who he is. See, sin started with a disbelief in God. Sin came with Adam and Eve saying, "God, you are not who you say you are. This fruit is actually good for us." You and I have sinned doing the same things. You and I have sinned disbelieving God and his commands and his promises by saying, "No, we can find life outside of you, God. We can find life over here," and we put ourselves in God's place. And because of that sin, we deserve to die. But what God did instead was plant a vine to give us life. And so we believe that. A branch that abides is a branch that believes. A branch that abides is a branch that believes. The branch continues to abide through trusting God. You know, I have hardwood trees in my backyard, and I learned this when I moved to North Carolina because y'all get hurricanes and snow. It's a weird time. I'm from Charleston, and so that's where Ashley and I lived for 12 years before we moved up here. And so we just got hurricanes. We didn't get any snow. And so evidently, pine trees are great in hurricanes but not in snow. And hardwoods are not great in either. So my backyard is full of them. Well, in that, the branch is only as strong as the trunk. The branch of the hardwood is only as strong as the trunk is. And I know how strong the branch is when hard times come. I know how strong the branch is whenever force is happening upon it. And so when a branch abides, a branch trusts the vine to protect it. That's the same thing with you and I when things happen in our life. We continue to abide by believing and trusting God that he is who he says he is. We continue to abide by believing that God will never leave us and never forsake us, that he has promised to meet all of our needs, that his plan is good for us, that we can trust him with whatever is going on in our life because he is the creator of life. And so abiding means believing God is who he says he is and trusting him to be that in our lives. Abiding is a gift. Abiding is God's grace to us through the true vine that he has given to us instead of punishing us for our sin. You know, one of the ways that we can abide here is through stirring our affections for God. I don't think any of us wake up in the morning thinking, man, can I spend 3 hours with God today? We have to stir our affections. Abiding is an action term. It is a verb. It is doing something. It is active. And so in order to abide in the vine, we have to believe and to trust. We have to stir our affections for God. For me, the way my affections get stirred is I like to go on walks. I like to be outside. I like to be in nature. I like to leave my phone at the house. I like to just take walks. Sometimes I'm around here, and I just take walks around here. I take walks in the woods. I take walks down the road. I just take walks because I want to be with God. I want to be undistracted because I need my affections stirred. I want to abide in God because I know life is only found in him. Some of the ways I do that is I call up my friends and just say, hey, can we pray for 5 minutes? I just need 5 minutes. Can you pray for me? I call them up and say, hey, can we just pray for 5 minutes? Can we read through Psalm 63? Can we talk about that? I need my affections stirred right now. I spend time in prayer. I spend time studying God's word. And so I spend time having my affections stirred because I want to abide in the vine because I know only in the vine is there life. Only in the vine can I be sustained because I want to believe God is who he is and trust him to be that in my life. How do you abide? Maybe taking a walk outside, especially in this heat, seems exhausting to you. How do you abide then? Is it you get up earlier? Maybe you cut your lunch break short. Maybe you end that meeting 15 minutes before it ends or before it's supposed to end and you don't scroll through Instagram, but you just scroll through John 15 or you scroll through Psalm 103. All of us need our affection stirred because having our affection stirred for God calls us to abide in the vine. Now there's one vine or one branch that abides, and then there's another branch that does not. What happens to that branch? That branch gets cut off. That branch is dead. That branch is not yielding any fruit because it's not abiding. The scary thing, though, is that they're both attached to the vine and they both look similar. See, this is where this verse began to change my life. John 15:2 began to change my life because I grew up in church. I was an RA. I was went to the camps. I was in FCA. I sang in the youth choir. Don't judge me here, but I was on the youth drama team, I'm sure there's VHSs somewhere, I was in the handbell choir, did all of these things, like grew up in it. Anytime the doors of the church were open, I was there. I was in it, had all of these things. If you would have looked at my life, you would have said, John's a Christian. But the difference was I was not abiding. The difference was I didn't trust God for my salvation. I thought I had to earn it. I thought I had to work for it. See, if abiding means believing and trusting, then not abiding means self-sufficiency. Not abiding means you don't need the vine. And so there's a branch here that does not bear fruit because it does not abide. If you're not abiding in the vine, then that means you think you can find life outside of the vine. That means you think that your works can get you there, that you were good enough. That means you think that you're not a bad person and Jesus only had to die a little bit for you, but the rest for others. It might mean you think you have to work yourself out of the hole that sin dug for you. Let me tell you, the hole that sin dug for you, you cannot get yourself out of. That's why Jesus had to come down in it and take your place. And so you cannot work for this. In fact, if you think your good works are good enough, then let me take you to Matthew 7, where Jesus talks about some people that had really good works. And I want you to measure your good works to them and see whose good works are better. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Look, if I text you at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night and say, "Hey, Mark, need you to come help me cast out demons. It means I think you're varsity, right? Like, it means I think a lot about you. It means that I want you part of that demon squad with me, right? These people are prophesying in Jesus' name and cast out demons. And Jesus is saying, your works are not good enough. Your works will not get you there. You cannot abide in your works because they are not attached to the vine. He says, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. What are you saying? They remember that sin comes from breaking the law of God. He is saying that trusting in your works for your salvation is the same thing. You're breaking the same law because you were making yourself God and him not. You cannot earn salvation. You cannot earn the love of God. Your good works will never be good enough. You will never be good enough to earn the love of God. And that's what this branch thinks. This branch thinks that it can abide in other things. You can abide in your job. You can abide in a relationship. You can abide in your finances, in your bank account, that you can abide in a career. You can abide in people's opinions of you. Or you can abide in your good works and that life will come from that. Life only comes from the true vine. Life only comes from the vine. A branch that is not attached and abiding to the vine is a dead branch. And this is what scared me is my junior year in college, so 5 years ago now, whenever I read this, not all of you laugh, which means some of you believe that, great. And so I line my life up with scripture, and I'm lining my life up with John 15:2. And I had to ask myself, what branch am I? If every branch in me that Jesus says does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I had to ask myself, what branch am I? What branch are you? Where are you abiding? Are you abiding in your works, what you do? If you're abiding in that, then your Bible probably has dust on it. You have a hard time praying in here for 90 seconds because you don't spend that entire time throughout the week. Yet you say that you're Christian and that you grew up that way. Saying that is like me saying I'm a swimmer. I'm not a swimmer, although I've swam. I've got goggles. I've got a hair cap. I've got a bathing suit. I know how to swim. I can swim, but I'm not a swimmer. You know why? Because I don't swim every day. Last time I swam was 2019 in any kind of exercise way. Last time I swam was in 2019. So for me to say I'm a swimmer would be false. That would be like you saying my good works and I trust in them and yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't abide in God. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. And so we've got branches that abide in God and branches that don't. A branch that God prunes and takes care of to bear more fruit and a branch that God cuts off. What branch are you? What branch are you? The way we see what branch we are and the way we determine that is the fruit. That's our observation number three, much fruit. Much fruit. One vine, two branches, much fruit. Fruit determines if you're abiding or not. Fruit determines what you're abiding in. You know, our lives are perfectly designed to get the results that we're getting. Our lives are perfectly designed to get the results that you're getting. If you wanted to be anything else, then you would redesign your life. And so when you look at your life, what fruit do you see in your life? Now, fruit, I'm not talking about works. We've already been over that. We've already talked about that in Matthew 7, that it's not works. It's not things we do. So if it's not things we do, then it's got to be who we are. And so Jesus talks about fruit, and he says, you will bear much fruit, and that is a singular word. Another person talks about fruit in the same way. It's Paul in Galatians 5. So if y'all will turn there, and it's going to be on the screen for you. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is a singular term, not because there's not a lot of fruit, but because you can't have one without the other. They're all intertwined. You can't isolate one over the other. You can't say, I'm going to focus on being more loving, because if you focus on being more loving, that would make you more patient, which would make you more faithful, which would make you more self-controlled, which would make you grow in your fruit. In the same way, you can't say, I want to work on this and not these, because they're intertwined. Gentleness leads to self-control, which leads to faithfulness, which leads to goodness, which leads to patience, which leads to joy. This fruit comes from the vine. See, the branch is just a conduit for the fruit. You know, there's a old pastor named Alistair Begg that says this quote, if you were ever asked why you should go to heaven and you begin the statement with, because I, you're wrong. If you ever asked why should you go to heaven and you start with, because I, that means you were saying, because I have done these things. Because I have been good enough, because I have been to church, because I went to small group, because I went to Bible study. And if you take it from me, because I was in FCA, because I was a leader, because I had my Bible, because I knew John 3:16, because that's the way my mom and dad raised me, because I knew right from wrong, because I knew what I should be. Those are works. Those are not fruit. And that's the tricky thing about these branches, is that they look similar until it's harvest time. June and July is the time where the peaches hit the trees, and it's amazing. And I know they're peach trees because in June and July, they yield peaches. What does your life yield? What fruit are you bearing? Because see, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, they're not things you do. They're things that God is transforming you into. God is growing these in you. God is developing these in you. In fact, the abiding that we see there is a co-abiding. And you can go back to John 14:17, and you can see that Jesus says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells in you. That's the same Greek, meno. Dwells in you and will be in you. When you abide in the Lord, he abides in you. When you dwell in him, he dwells in you, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in you begins to transform you into the image of Christ, begins to transform you into who God created Adam and Eve to be, and they were not, and then who God created the nation of Israel to be, and then they were not, and then who God sent Jesus Christ to be. It begins to transform you into the image of Christ, growing you in Christ's likeness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You know, growth happens over a long period of time. If I were to stare at a peach tree right now and I looked at it every day, would I see the growth? No, not unless I took pictures, right? But you see it over time. So if you want to determine what fruit is in your life, then I want you to look over the last year. Over the last year, where did you spend the checkbook of your life? Where did you spend the checkbook of your life? Did you spend time with God? Did you spend time in his word? Did you spend time in prayer? Did you spend time with his people? Did you spend time caring for the least of these? Did you spend time sharing your faith? In fact, one great sign is not how much you give, but how many times you tell someone about the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you look back over the last year of your life, what fruit exists? What fruit exists in your life? What branch are you? Where are you abiding in your life? Because that's what you need to see. Because one way leads to life and one way leads to death. And our sin has given us a penalty of death. And unless we abide in Jesus Christ and he abides in us, we will never have eternal life with him. Your bank account cannot save you. Your works cannot save you. When you look at your life, what fruit do you see? Do you see that you've grown in love? You see that you've grown in peace and in patience. In fact, what would your spouse say? What would your friends say? How do you stir your affections for God? Do you think about that? See, when you think about planting that peach tree, you got to think about the soil, you got to think about the roots, but then you think about the health of the branches, and then you think about the fruit. I know that's a peach tree because every June and July, it yields peaches. Would somebody say the same about you today? Can somebody say today, I know that you're a Christian because I see the fruit in your life? And remember, fruit is not works. Fruit is Christ's likeness and who you are becoming. This is what rocked me. This is what rocked me my junior year in college, sitting in my dorm. I realized when I lined my life up with Scripture that the fruit of the Lord did not exist in my life. That yes, I had all these works, and yes, I had done all of these things, but I had never surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I had never trusted him as the vine. I had never trusted his works on my behalf. I had never trusted the cross of Jesus Christ instead of my own works. And that day that I became a Christian, that fall, that August, changed my life. It was like I was sitting across the table from God, and I gave God every reason not to love me. Every reason. And I said, God, here's everything I've ever done. Here's everything I've ever wanted to do. Here's everything I've ever thought about doing. Here's all the people I've hurt. All the wrongs I've done. All the wrongs I want to do, God. I still want to do all those things, but God, I want you. And it was like God was sitting across the table from me. And he takes his hand and he just wipes it away. And he says, I know. I know that, John. I know. I know all these things. That's why I sent my son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. I know you sin. I know the things you wanted to do. I know the things you have done. That's why I sent Jesus. And y'all, that day changed me. It changed my life. To be known completely and loved completely, to be moved from a branch that was dead to a branch that's alive, to be moved from I no longer pay the penalty for my sins, but Jesus Christ has, to move from an enemy of God to a son of God. That's what this vine does. It's the true vine that was planted for you. The beautiful part about this is that Jesus Christ became the dead branch for us. Jesus Christ was ripped off the vine from the Lord, put on the cross, nailed for our sins, died the death that we deserve for our sin, and gave us life in exchange for our death. That's the vine. That's the vine that was planted for you and was planted for me. That's why I want you to look at your life today, line it up with Scripture, and see what fruit exists. Because there's one fruit that leads to life and one fruit that leads to death, and only true fruit comes from the true vine. True fruit comes from the true vine. And I want you to abide in that vine, because everything you seek in this world is only found there. You may think, oh, John, I've never hit rock bottom. I don't need God. False. You're a sinner separated from God and will be separated from him for eternity unless you abide in him. I want you to abide today. Everything that this world tries to sell you is a lie. You know why? Because God created this world, and God created this world for himself, and God created you for himself. And the only way that you can abide in the vine is through surrendering, believing, and trusting. True fruit comes from the true vine. What vine, what fruit exists in your life? You know, I love this part because it says those that bear fruit, he prunes. He prunes that we may bear more fruit. And that means that the work that God began, God will continue. And church, for those of us today that abide in that vine, that means that whatever we face in our life, we can trust him with it. That whatever he is pruning from us, that he will restore to us something better. It says he doesn't prune us for punishment. He prunes us to bear more fruit. And so that's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for us as the Summit Church, that we abide. And as we abide in the vine, we bear fruit. And as we bear fruit, the world takes notice so that more will abide in the vine. Oh, how beautiful the name of Jesus Christ. It came to take away the sins of the world. Who lived for you and died for you and deserves all of our glory and all of our praise. What fruit exists in your life? What fruit? Bow your heads with me. If you are here today and you just realize that the fruit in your life is not the fruit of Christ, and you want to surrender your life to him today, then all you've got to do is pray this with me. Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me for my sin. Father, I surrender my life to you. Save me. Lord, be my God and be my Savior. I give my life to you. If you just prayed that prayer, then I want you to tell somebody today. I want you to talk with somebody about that today. I want you to talk with one of our elders and wives that are down here, one of our staff members. Because praise God, you just moved from death to life. Father, we thank you for the vine. We thank you for the true vine that brings life. We thank you for the true vine that you have created, that you have given to us as a free gift, a true vine that we can abide in and, Lord, endure. That we can abide in, that we can believe in you, and you are who you say you are, and trust you to be who you say you will be. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for not counting my sin against me and counting it against your Son. Thank you for saving me. All God's people said, amen. Well, look, church, let's stand and worship the true vine. Let's stand and make much of his name, the one that lived the life for us and died the death that we deserve.